We're going to start off with the most basic, which is just a little bit of background of what carve-out transactions are, and then we're going to jump right into some stories of carve-out transactions that we have all worked on, things that went well, things that didn't go well, and tips that we can provide you going forward as you approach doing carve-out transactions. As Wilson said at the beginning of the introductory remarks today, this is a very hot area. We're seeing lots and lots more carve-out transactions. A lot of this information is applicable when thinking about spin-off transactions. So with that, the first thing is, what is a carve-out transaction? It's the sale of a business line, a division, or a portion of a larger company. Some people call them divisional sales. By their nature, carve-out transactions combine many aspects of what we see in public company transactions, private company M&A, and then they also raise their own unique set of issues. The one key attribute of all carve-out transactions is that the seller remains an operating business, or it is still there, unless, I guess I have a footnote now when I'm editing the carve-out presentation live as we speak, except in the situation where you have a seller selling all of its divisions via carve-out. So we'll have a footnote there. As John had mentioned, this panel stems out of a deal point study that I'm chairing for the ABA Market M&A Market Trends Subcommittee of the Mergers and Acquisitions Committee of the ABA's Business Law Section. Wow, that needs an acronym or something there. And we're in the process of putting out a new, brand new deal point study. Very excited about it. It analyzes carve-out transactions over two-year period, 2015 and 2016. And it is a bit unique in that it includes practice tips and pointers and explanatory provisions so that you can actually use it as a learning resource.